Today, the title of my message is How to Live Out from Under a Curse. How to live out from under a curse. And the word curse is found in the Bible 230 times. 230 times, and I have enough notes to about exegete every one of those verses, amen, but I'm not going to do that this morning. But 230 times, it was first found in Genesis when God cursed the ground, when He cursed the ground. And also, Adam came under a curse. And then therefore we were under a curse until Jesus died on that cross and became a curse for us. Amen. And so when we think of a curse, I want to give you the definition of a curse. Then I want to talk about the declaration of a curse. And that is the curse that God speaks over a land, over a society, or a people. And if we're not careful, as much as I love this country, our sin and the things that we're involved in, we could be under a curse ourselves. The greatest nation on the face of the earth, we could find ourselves under a curse. So I'm going to talk about the declaration of a curse, and then I'm going to talk about the decision. The fact that being under a curse, oftentimes, it's a decision. It's a decision that you make when you decide, this is how I'm going to live. This is how I'm going to do things. This is how, and if you're, friend, if you're on opposition, if you're on opposite sides of the Lord and His plan for your life, then you're walking under a curse. And I don't want you to live like that this morning, so I'd like to break that curse over you. But Mark 11, we'll start there, Mark chapter 11, verse 13. But there's so many scriptures this morning, but I just want to just touch on the fig tree just a moment. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. And then the next verses go on about how Jesus turns the tables over in the temple. What a great passage that is, but we're not going there this morning. And then in verse 18, the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Verse 19, when evening came, they went out of the city, the withered fig tree. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. I tell you, when Jesus curses something, it's going to wither, amen? And so I tell you, I don't want you to live under a curse. Curses are real. I told Josh, we were kidding around, he'd asked me what I was preaching on this morning, and I said, ancient curses. And he said, you mean like the mummy? And I said, no, brother, not like the mummy. A curse is not some mystical, magical thing but it is a very real thing. It's a very real thing that happens in your mind, and if it's spoken over you, you can receive that. For instance, let me just give you an example. Say you're a young child, has a parent that tells them from the time they're a young age that they're stupid. That they're stupid. You're never going to amount to anything. You're stupid. I didn't go to college. My mother didn't go to college. Our family, we're just not that smart. Friend, they've spoken a curse over that child. And that child receives that curse, receives that, and lives in that until that curse is broken over them. I told you about my sports history. I loved football, and I'm sure that y'all can't tell that by I use it about every other sermon as some kind of sports illustration. But I love football, and I loved it growing up. I played it and still am involved in it in chaplain and do things. But I can remember I was extremely close to my high school coach. He was one of the most successful coaches in the area where I grew up. And I was starting going into my junior year, and everything was great. Had an automobile accident and cracked my knee up. And the day after I'd had the automobile accident, the head coach that I was close to left. And the high school I went to was kind of like a good old boys network, you know what I mean? There's this quarterback club and all these political things. And so because of some of the kids that were seniors, their parents that were involved didn't really want us to go find a new coach because they were worried that their kids that were seniors would lose their starting position or lose. So what they did is we had a no good assistant coach who wasn't worth the flip. But these parents of the seniors thought, we'll just put this guy in there because we know he won't rock the boat. And so they put this coach in, and this coach and I, we never got along. We didn't like one another. He really didn't like the ministry that my father was in, just so many issues. But I can remember there was a time when he told me, you have no heart. And see, that was about the worst thing you could have said to a 15-year-old Ronnie Phillips or 16, because see, in the Region 3-5A, I had started, but I was the smallest lineman that started in our region. I was about 205 pounds. The average was about 260. So I was mean as I could be. But I loved football, and I knew how to work with my team. I played center, and I knew I was quick enough to get out of the way of the pulling guard. But when he told me that, I believed it. And he said a lot of other things that I can't repeat in church about me, to me, the day that I quit before my senior year. And I tell you, for years, you've heard my testimony of getting into drugs, and you've heard the depression and the valleys that I went through before God brought me out. But your former pastor, who's a big brother to me, counseled with me right out of high school, Bobby. And Bobby and I sat down together. I wouldn't meet with anybody but Bobby because I trusted Bobby enough to know he wouldn't run his mouth to people. There's nothing worse than a pastor that'll go run his mouth about something he's talked to one of his members about, and I always knew Bobby wouldn't do that. And so Bobby and I met together, and we began to pray and go through the scriptures. This has been probably 12 years ago, and Bobby found that root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness, where it all started with me, was that 5-10 minutes with that coach. Do you understand if something negative, if someone curses you and tells you you're no good, and you, whether you really truly believe it in the flesh or not, but if you receive that curse and it's not broken over you, you will live less than what God has for you. You will live beneath your privilege. And I did that for years. I was depressed. I didn't think anything of myself. I didn't believe about myself what God believed about me. And your former pastor, as he counseled me, which is why I've always loved him for that, because he was able to pinpoint. It wasn't a drug problem. It wasn't a partying problem. It wasn't a phase that I was going through as an 18, 19-year-old friend. I had a curse spoken over me, spoken right to my spirit, man, and I believed it, and I lived beneath my privilege. How many of you this morning are living beneath your privilege? Some person way back when told you were dumb, stupid, fat, ugly, whatever it may be. Broke, we're always going to be poor, we're never going to have anything. Everyone in our family's had diabetes. Everyone in our family's had cancer. Someone's spoken a curse over you, and you believed it. And I want to break that curse this morning. I want to break that curse over you and over this body. I want to break the financial curse over Stone Mountain. Because, you know, I believe God wants to raise up businesses here. I believe God wants to bless here. I don't care what society says about this place. God wants to bless it. I believe in part because of this church. Because I believe God wants to bless this church. And to bless this church, He's got to bless the community around it. But be thinking back through your life if a curse has ever been spoken over you. And I want to start off by defining the curse. By defining the curse. The curse is the opposite of blessing. A curse is the opposite of blessing. Someone speaks a blessing over you, you'll be familiar with that blessing, and in times that God wants to bless you, you'll remember that blessing that was spoken over you by grandmother, whoever it was. The opposite of a blessing, the calling down of evil on someone or something to afflict a judgment. The opposite of a blessing, the calling down of evil on someone or something to afflict a judgment. When a man is under a curse, his heaven is closed. He can't receive the things that God wants him to receive when man is under a curse. Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. Many of you have given the enemy ground to eat you up and beat you up and kick you while you're down. There's ground. Legal ground are places where Satan has a right to be because I or someone else has given him that place. If Satan is eating your lunch, if you aren't accomplishing the things that you want to accomplish, then you've probably given Satan ground to have rule over you, or maybe even your children. Ephesians 4:27 again says, give no place to the devil. 2 Peter 2, verse 19, you can write these down and read them later and study them. 2 Peter 2, 19, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Romans 6:16, Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. I want to quickly give you five doors, five open doors that will give the enemy ground to rule over you. The first is disobedience. Disobedience. And this is still under the definition. We're still defining a curse. First is disobedience. If you don't, and young people, I'm not trying to be one of those preachers because, man, when I was a kid, I used to hear about obeying your parents, and I was like, every preacher does this. I think they just do it to get a good love offering because parents love it when a pastor says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But let me tell you something. There's a curse that comes on children that don't honor and obey their parents. I've seen it since I've been in ministry. I've seen it as a child. Those children that don't honor or obey their parents and who rebel. The Bible says rebellion, and that's another one we'll get to later, is as of the sin of witchcraft. A child that doesn't obey their parents, you're setting yourself up for a curse. You are walking right under a curse. And it will be over you until it's broken in your life. And I'm not saying you don't ever argue or disagree with your parents, okay? I know that's going to happen, but I'm saying if you live in rebellion, constant rebellion of the things that your parents have asked you to do, you're under a curse. The first is disobedience. Also, disobedience to authority figures. It's the same even with a pastor. If someone's in authority over you and they've asked you to do something, even if it's on the job, hey, I'd like you to do this, and you rebel against that person in authority. And there's authority in every event in life, okay? Even in Little League, there's a president of a park, there's a coach. Everything that you do, there's someone in a position of authority. And if you disobey that person, it brings a curse on you. Next, inner vows and judgments. Inner vows, ungodly soul ties, vows, things that you've said out of your mouth. So we've even seen it some in Freemasonry and some other things. There are vows that you'll say out of your mouth. There are things that you said, even songs, chants, anything like that, that you've spoken out of your mouth, vows over yourself, and it creates a soul tie with the enemy. It attaches you with Satan, and it puts you under a curse. Under a curse. Next is emotional trauma. Number four, emotional trauma. If you've went through, and just the same thing as my quick testimony I gave you about football, if someone has hurt you emotionally, broken your heart, whether it's a parent that never came to your events or never came to your dance recital or never came to your games, or it's a teacher or a coach that spoke negative into you or told you weren't worth anything, let me tell you something. Emotional trauma, if you don't take it to God and you don't walk out from under that curse and it's not broken over you, emotional trauma that you experienced as a child or even as an adult will put you under a curse. Will put you under a curse. If you don't deal with things that have happened to you and deal with them in a godly way, friend, you're under a curse. The next thing is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. So, you know, many of you, and I include myself in this, we have a hard time with forgiving people, don't we? I'll tell you a story. We had a man that pastored our senior adults some 5 to 7 years ago at church before I was on staff. And we decided to let this man go for a number of reasons. But this man was a senior adult pastor at our church, and we'd let him go. He had done some things, but he was a good guy, just didn't really believe. You know, sometimes you can be you can be in the right seat but on the wrong bus, or on the wrong bus and in the right seat, whatever. Whatever it was, he wasn't a good fit, amen? And so the church, pastor's counseling people decided to pay him 6 months, and then he got a church and we paid him another to supplement his income. We took good care of him. Well, this man has harbored bitterness and resentment towards Central Baptist, or my church in Chattanooga, for years. I see this man at the hospital visiting people occasionally on Thursdays. He won't even speak to me. He won't even speak to me. And one of our members that I spoke with you about a few months ago, his name was Roger Johnson. He died of cancer. And Roger was in his ministry when he was a pastor at church. And this is how bitter this man has been. He was so bitter that anyone that didn't leave our church when he got let go, he disowned them. Wouldn't return their calls, wouldn't go see him. And so a couple of Roger's friends from both places called him when he was dying of cancer and said, "We'd love you to come up here and pray with us and have communion." He said, "I'm not your pastor anymore." And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong, okay? We all make mistakes, but forgiveness is not a matter about being right or being wrong. Forgiveness is something when you let go of that that's hurt you, that's strangling you, that's got a rope tied around you, you let it go and you forgive that person that's hurt you. I know it's hard for people that have been molested or abused to forgive that person that's hurt them, forgive that person that's attacked them. Let me tell you something. We got to forgive them. That coach, I had to get to a place with your former pastor and counseling as a teenager where I had to forgive my coach. And I didn't like that. That was hard. Because other than the Lord Jesus and my family, football's probably flirting around with three or four. And it was flirting around with one back then. But we got to forgive those that have spoke curses against us. And we can't receive a curse when someone speaks it over us. We've got to be able to recognize what is a curse and what isn't. But those are things that will open up the ground. The curse, as I said, is the opposite of a blessing. But I have another definition for you I'd like to read. I told you I had a thesis here. An utterance intended to harm, and I'll quote some scriptures here, because Israel had been chosen by God and there was a covenant relationship, the nation could be cursed if it was unfaithful. We find that in Deuteronomy 30. Individuals could also be cursed if they were thieves. If they had stolen, they could be under a curse in that sense. Galatians 3:13, which we talked about in our Freedom Reign series, Paul quotes and explains that Jesus Christ became a curse for us by taking upon himself the cross. Amen? The definition of a curse. Next, the declaration of a curse. First, I'd like to talk to you. When we talk about declaration, we talked about the times when God has cursed grounds, like he did in Genesis when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. There are places destruction will come if you stay under a curse for an extended amount of time. It'll bring destruction in your life. God will destroy you and everything that you touch if you don't come out from under that curse. And that's what I want to teach you, is how to live out from under a curse. First of all, the nature of a curse, there's two forces. One are natural forces, things that happen. The experience with a coach or a teacher, bad things that have happened in your life. These are things that have happened. The Proverbs calls them the reproofs of life, things that happen on this earth. Some of you may have been born into poverty, okay, and you're under a generational curse that could go back four generations. There are things that you can't control. Are you with me? What the lifestyle or the family life that you were born into, you can't control that. So that's a natural cause. But then there are also spiritual forces. And the result of a curse is frustration. When you're under a curse and you're living under a curse, let me ask you, if you find yourself frustrated all the time, well, everything you try to do, you're frustrated. Every place you go and every time you try to branch out or serve God or do anything, you get frustrated. You're under a curse. And it needs to be broken over you. But there, in the Bible, God would declare a curse over land in the Old Testament. He would declare a curse over people. He'd declare a curse over nations that were ungodly and that weren't holy. God would declare a curse over them. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 says this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." There are things, there's spiritual battles going on in the heavenlies, and that we can't see them. And what you don't understand is Jesus has already defeated Satan and he has no power or authority over you, but he is the prince of this earth. And if you're under a curse, all he can do is frustrate you antagonize you, defeat you mentally and spiritually on this earth. But if we ever get to a place as Christians or as the local church where we say, Satan, your number's up. We don't receive. We break the curse that's been spoken over us. We break the curse of poverty. We break the curse of sickness. We break the curse of illness. We break the curse of emotional depression. We break the curse. Then God will begin to bless us. And I believe if we can ever get completely out from under the curse, that's where we're going to get showered with blessing. Because again, the opposite of a curse is a blessing. You don't want to speak a curse over your kids. You don't want to tell them they're stupid. You don't want to tell them they're fat. You don't want to tell them they're not good. You don't want to tell them they're stink. You don't want to tell them things like that. But what you do want to tell them, and I know Gloria will amen me because she's told me about Psalms 1 with Trey all the time. You want to speak a blessing over your children. Say, I bless you. You are smart. You are highly favored. You're intelligent. You can do everything that you want to do in life because you know what? God will give you the strength. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll do everything in His power to get you to where He wants you to be if you'll love Him and serve Him. That's the kind of thing we need to speak over our children. Ancestral curses, real quick, also called generational curses. One of my heroes and mentors, John Kilpatrick, was the first man I ever heard teach on this, and he's a hero of mine. And a lot of the things that you'll hear me say, I'll be honest, I've gotten from some of his teaching because he was one of the first. But he broke some curses over me, and I want to do that over you. Ancestral or generational curses, which come to us from previous generations, they give us a strong bent on propensity towards certain sins or bondages. For instance, if your dad or your grandfather was an alcoholic or a gambling addict or a whoremonger, then for generations, that curse comes down. And you have to break that curse. You say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with my dad. Maybe you don't. But let me tell you something, that generational curse is still there. And until it's broken over you, until you operate out from under that curse, friend, you're going to have the same tendencies that's went generations before. It may not be the generation right before you. It may be the one before that. Or the one before that, it goes back four generations, what the Bible says. Exodus 21 through 5. Let me read you some scripture real quick. I'll give you all of them. You can write them down and you can read them later. I'm the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Here's the part I want you to really pay attention to. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Three or four generations. That means if your grandfather was an addict or if your grandfather was a hateful, abusive man, that curse is on you, and if it's not broken over your life, you're going to be living under a curse. The things that went on generations. Let me tell you something. I've had a depression curse broken over my life. My grandfather, when he was in third or fourth grade, he had about a third or fourth grade education. When he was just a little boy, his mom died. His daddy wasn't around. He stayed with aunts and uncles. They used to take their kids to the carnival in the park, and they'd leave my grandfather. He had to sleep in a closet. They never took him. And then guess what? He married my mean grandmother, amen, when he was about 17, and she loved him. But let me tell you, he could drink a half a fifth of vodka. He was so hurt because no one ever loved him. No one ever spoke into him. He lived under a curse because his parents had left him. And he also served this great nation. And I've thought about him today as I looked at his American flag before I left my house. But let me tell you something. My father will tell you, my grandfather wasn't a heavy set man, but he could kill a fifth of vodka. He'd get off work on Friday. He would drink all weekend. This happened until my dad was out of the house. Then he got saved. Amen. And then the curse was broken over him. And he was ordained as a deacon. And he would go every week. He'd go soul winning. And he was a deacon in the Baptist church. My dad got to do that. But let me tell you something about that. That curse started with his parents. Okay? And it came to him. And the way he dealt with that curse and that hurt and that frustration was through drinking. Then, although my father was saved, how did he deal with it? Eating. Food. A lot of people that have alcoholic parents, their drug will be food. And then they get heavy. And then they gained. So my father's admitted publicly that his alcohol for many years was food. Okay, and then you have me under that same curse. And see, I didn't know about this curse stuff till about 2 years ago. I knew about demonic spiritual warfare. I knew about not giving any, but I didn't know what it means to be under a curse that goes back four generations. You have to look at your life and your family and wonder what kind of curses have been spoken over you or what's been passed down through generation to generation. We need to break those today so that you can have a sense of freedom. How many of y'all want to do that? Let's give God praise and glory. Other scriptures on that same path, Deuteronomy 5, 9, Numbers 14, 18, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Generational curses. The Hebrew word for iniquity is avon, and it means a bentness toward rebellion, perversity, or moral evil. Iniquity, and I know Pastor Bill a few weeks ago spoke with you about iniquity, and you understand that it's more than an act of sin, it's a system of behavior, it's a way of life. And that's what it means to live under a curse. It's not that you occasionally slip up in sin. All Christians do that. And I'm not excusing it. You need to bring it before Jesus if you're in sin this morning. But what I'm saying is no one, and again, if you really think back to Genesis, it still flows under the same thing as a curse. Why is it that no Christian can be perfect? Why? Because of a curse. Because when Adam fell, we all fell. Now Jesus, he can be perfect in us and through us, but our flesh will never be perfect until we get our new body in heaven. Won't happen. And that's why I get very frustrated with Pentecostal circles that think when you get saved, you're never going to mess up. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I believe Jesus can be perfect through you, but your flesh is never going to be perfect. It's going to want to do the wrong things because your flesh is cursed. The declaration. I want to close with a decision. The decision. We've defined a curse. We've talked about the declaration of a curse that's passed down from generation to generation. God, how He's declared a curse over people. God, if we don't obey Him, if we're in rebellion, God will curse us. But also, I want to talk about the decision. Now, this is what you do have control of. Amen. Say, Pastor Ronnie, all you're doing is scaring us this morning. Telling us about all these generational curses and stuff. You're acting like we're there. But let me tell you something. There's an end and an answer. And His name is Jesus. And He broke every curse. But if you don't know you're under a curse, you don't know what to break off of you. And that's what I experienced. Decision. This is a personal matter based on your actions. If you want to live out from under a curse, there's some things that you don't need to do. And there are some things that we're going to do today to break the curse off your life. The first thing talks about trusting in man. Isaiah 31. If you want to live under a curse, put your faith and trust in man instead of God. If you want to be out from under a curse, then begin to trust God for everything, not trust man. That is the idolatry that we get into in church. In churches, is we get so attached and so in love with our pastor, we put a pastor on such a pedestal, or even in business, we put our CEO on such a pedestal that we forget the overall theme of what we're doing. I think a pastor ought to be honored and respected and taken care of. You know that. But let me tell you something. God is God. And apart from this office, we are the same. We are flesh. We're both wrapped up in flesh that's under a curse. If you start to trust in man instead of God, you're bringing a curse on your life. You're bringing frustration. You're going to be frustrated. Next, quickly, deceitful work. Jeremiah 48, verse 10. Deceitful work. If you don't do honest work, honest labor, if you're a cheat, I'll take Pastor Darrell, for instance. And I know he's not a cheat. He's a man of God that works for his money, works with his hands. But Darrell, you know in business, there are a lot of crooks out there, don't you? People that charge way too much than they ought to be charging. That when the job's worth $50, they can knock it up to $85 because the people they're working on don't know any better. If you do deceitful work and you're not honest before God, you're walking under a curse. You say, how do I get out from under a curse? How do I live out from under a curse? One, don't put your trust in man. But two is be honest in your work, in what you do with your hands. Don't cheat anyone. Next, don't rebel against God like Absalom in the Bible. 2 Samuel verse 15. God killed him. Don't rebel against the things of God. That's why so many churches are dying. Because there's rebellion not only against the leader of the church, authority, which we've already talked about, but there's rebellion against the Spirit of God. I tell you, there was such a freedom in here this morning during the worship. You don't have to understand everything, but it's very important that you're open to a move of God. And we're so quick to judge something we don't understand or that we don't have operating in our lives. When the truth is, God may be wanting to speak to you. He may be wanting to bless you right where you are. Don't rebel. Deceitful work, rebellion, number three. Number four, wrong use of the tongue. And we've spent some time about that, about authority figures, how they can speak a curse over your life. Let me tell you something. Those of you that are saved in here, if you don't want to be under a curse, you need to watch what you say to your kids, your friends, your family, your church members, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to watch what you say. Wrong use of the tongue, you speak a curse over someone, you'll be under a curse. Numbers 12, 1 through 2, Miriam became a curse because of her tongue. So many people live under a curse because of their mouth. Numbers 14, 28, verse 30. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. I'll do to you the very things I heard you say. In the desert, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who has counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with, uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua. Everything you speak against someone will happen to you. How many of you have ever seen that in your life? Or you've seen that happen to someone that's spoken over you? I've seen it happen, oh my gosh, so many times. Someone will be so critical of someone else. And then they curse themselves. And the very thing they're accusing that other person of happens to them. Proverbs 6, verse 2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Say, be careful what you say. Be careful what you speak over your children, over your friends, over your brothers and sisters. Next thing it'll bring a curse, and I'll hurry. Laziness. Laziness. Whoever is slack in his work, Proverbs 18, is a brother to him who destroys. Whoever is slack, less than average in his work, is a brother to him who destroys. You want to bring a curse over your life? You want to live under a curse? Then be lazy. Don't do anything. Don't let God do anything through you. Just sit right where you are under that curse. And if you do that, then you're going to be frustrated your whole life. If you want something in life, and you can ask the successful men and women in this house who God has done things with, and there are a lot of them, ask them how they got there. Okay? Ask them how they got there. You know what they're going to say? I worked. You know what else they're going to say? When other people weren't working, I was working. When other people weren't studying, I was studying. When other people were afraid to take a risk or to invest, I invested. That's what they're going to tell you. If you're lazy and you're unwilling to move when God tells you to move or take a chance, you're putting yourself under a curse. The next, I won't spend a lot of time there. Many of us, this is not as prevalent in society as it once was, as incest. Number seven, we've already spoke about, is the refusal to pay tithes. If you're robbing God, you're under a curse. Number eight, dishonoring your parents. We've talked about that. Number nine, repaying good with evil. Close with this one. Repaying good with evil. Romans 12, 17, Paul advised, do not repay anyone evil for evil. And stay with me, I'm closing. Retaliation, which is the desire to get even with someone, is the world's way. When someone hurts you, cusses you, does whatever to you, if you desire to pay them back or to do them one better, friend, that's the enemy. That's a cursed way of living. That's not God's way. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. And I know that's easier said than done, but I'm going to tell you, if you watch God meet you right where you are when someone's cursed you, hurt you, whatever, and you return that with a blessing, that breaks the enemy's back. That breaks all power of hell. That breaks Satan's back. It breaks the demons have to flee when someone curses you or attacks you and you bless them. Woo! I'm going to tell you, you may think it's weak because in this worldly and in this fleshly society we live in, that appears, and I know you young people think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, I know it appears weak. But if someone hurts you and you turn around and bless them, my God, you've just honored God. You've just letting God flow through you. Man alive. And I'm really trying to get better at this. I am, because I've always been willing to fight at the drop of a hat. Just because when you're a preacher's kid, you just have to be mean. You just have to make it. But I tell you, I've learned, especially within the last few years, Josh and Sam will tell you, when I first started preaching, I was as mean as a striped snake. And I was meanest to the people who supported me. Isn't that stupid? I was yelling at the people that loved me about the people that weren't there. Isn't that dumb? But I'm going to tell you, I'm speaking a curse over myself. See, isn't that dumb? See, you can't see. You got to watch it. I'm telling you. I'm sitting there telling you. Even something that small. Isn't that dumb? That's a curse. Oh, I'm not good at that. You just spoke a curse over yourself. Didn't you? That's not my... I'm not very... Don't you... Hey, let me tell you something. All things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things are possible with God. Let's don't put a curse over ourselves. Don't return evil with evil. Verse 19, Paul says, do not take revenge. He says to live at peace in verse 17 and 18. In verse 19, Paul says, do not take revenge. Revenge, just like retaliation, is the world's way. Verse 20, what does Paul say? He says, if your enemy is hungry, what? Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Overcome evil with good. How do you overcome evil with good? How do you break that curse before it's passed down to your children or your children's children? Through good. You begin to speak blessings over your children. You begin to bless everyone you come in contact with. You begin to let the Spirit of God flow through you and watch people's chains fall off in the spirit realm. You can break the curse over your children. Many of you, as we go into invitation in just a moment, Josh, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get ready to play. As we enter into our invitation time, I want you to begin to think about the curses you've spoken over the last, I don't know how many years. The curses that you haven't even meant to speak over yourself, but the curses that you may have spoken over your friends or your children or even brothers and sisters in the church. Because this isn't about, this is a twofold. This is about the curse that's been spoken over you, but this is also about your decisions. Amen? It's about the things that you've said that have placed a curse over somebody. I'm going to be honest, and I'm just saying what the Holy Spirit tells me to say, and I've got to say it. Some of you have spoke a curse over Bobby Atkins, and you didn't even know it. And I know many of you love him, okay? None of you meant to. But there are those of you that have said Bobby will never have a church that's as free as ours. Bobby will never go to a church where anybody will love him like we did. You've spoken a curse over him. Do you know that? You've spoken a curse over him. And you need to repent of it this morning. And that's just an example. There are many of you that have spoken those same types of things over yourself. Haven't you? Maybe some of you have spoken a curse over me. Didn't even mean to. because of my age, or whatever it may be. You need to ask God to forgive you. Maybe you've spoken a curse over your children. You need to ask God to forgive you. Because I don't think you meant to, okay? I don't think these types of things happen because you're bad people. But we all do it. And that's how the enemy uses us. Imagine your children, those of you that kids are grown, things you may have said inadvertently to them. I want you to spend time with the Lord today. And I want you to ask God to forgive you. And if you'd like me to break the curse over you, I want to break the curse over you this morning. Those of you whose parents may have been a drug addict, a drunk, a whoremonger, whatever it may be. Maybe you have parents or grandparents or great-grandparents that have been divorced and divorced and divorced. And you say, you know what? When I do get married, I don't want to follow in their footsteps. I want to get married and stay married. Now, I'm not picking on the people that have been through a divorce. But what I'm saying is, if you look back, there's a curse. There's a curse that needs to be broken, isn't there? Did y'all receive that this morning? Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Holy Spirit, Lord Adonai, Father, I ask you to flow through this room. Lord, I break every curse that's ever been spoken over me. Lord, I break every curse that I've ever spoken over anyone else. Lord, I ask you to forgive me where I've been wrong. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen my hands, strengthen my spirit this morning so that I can do what you've asked me to do. Lord, you've asked me to break the curses over this house. And so, Lord, I want to do this in obedience to what you've asked me to do. But, Lord, I need to be clean in your eyes. 100% without blemish. So Lord, I want you to take anything that's not pure out of me right now. And Lord, I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to begin to bring to the minds of your people the curses that they've spoken over their loved ones, over their church, over their friends. I ask you to bring, Lord, I can't read all their mail, but Lord, I know you can. And Lord, I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, begin to speak to each individual person in this room about the curses that they've spoken over others. Lord, begin to send your healing power to those that are living under a curse. Lord, maybe for the first time this morning, there are individuals that have been living under a curse that realize that they're under a curse. And even though they may be saved, Lord, they've realized that they don't have to live under that curse anymore. Lord, I pray that you'd give them the boldness to come up to me and let me do what you've asked me to do and to break the curse over their life. So, Father God, as we worship you, Lord, I ask you to flow through this place. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.